kick on this this trip. And who knows the ways of the church, but I feel like you've come here just at a perfect time with a perfect word. I've already told him that we took his No Limits segment that he did about Noah and the Ark, and I told him we bootlegged the CD and gave it out to all the men for Father's Day, because you were about a quarter of the way through that, and I'd already made that evil decision in my mind. I'm going to give this out to all of our guys for Father's Day. If you haven't heard that message, you need to go by and get that CD, because it will sharpen you in areas that are very important. This is the pastor of one of the most outrageous apostolic churches in the whole world, the Rock Church in Sacramento, California. He and his family are doing a phenomenal job there. Brother Miles Young is a wonderful preacher, good saint of God, composer, artist. He's just talented in a gazillion ways, and we are thoroughly, thoroughly blessed to have him here today. Most of all, he's a wonderful brother in the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost and full of revival. And I think you're about to start a brand new daughter work. And you and the bishop are going to start it? Yep. What will y'all have in the house this morning? 1,500 people? More? In and out of 15 to 2,000, something like that. So, yeah. We would all fit on their platform. You could take this whole building and put it at the back of their platform, and we would hang out maybe to the second row. To give you an idea. But they're going out to start a new daughter work. How come? Because the work's never done. And they've got vision and they've got burden. And I just want to celebrate them a little bit here today. Wonderful people with wonderful burden. Won't you welcome Brother Miles Young this morning? And come preach to us, preacher.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It is good to be here this morning, and it was unexpected. And I feel the presence of the Lord. And I guess I'll just fit along with where Pastor Sutton's already said today. I'd rather be here in this dynamic atmosphere than in some dead church that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. Amen. Some of you are wondering why we're speaking in parables. Well, we speak to them that know. Amen. It is good to be back. It's been a number of years since I've been here, and man, y'all are like fine wine. Y'all get better with age. Amen. ZZ, do they still call you ZZ? Some people, the old school folks. ZZ's turned into a monster on that keyboard. Give her a big hand. Wow. I've never done what I'm fixing to do, but I'm going to invite myself back right now. I would like in the next 2 years, I got to figure out when, but when I can afford to do it, I'd like to do a live album here. Can I do a live album? Because I want some of that dynamite on that project, if that's all right. I was just sitting over there by Cody Marks Jr. Dawson and Cody Marks could pass for brothers. If he starts... just give him the pulpit or something. But I was just sitting over there and I was watching everybody, and what y'all've got is you can get infected with it. You're contagious. It makes you want to shout. You make me want to dance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go to the Word of God today. I am thrilled to be here, not only with this great church, but with such a great ministry family. And thank God for everything He's done in my life through your pastor. Brother and Sister Sutton had a tremendous impact upon so many folks that are now in different places around the world, literally. And I honor them. I owe a whole lot more than probably I even realized. I was thinking while we were worshiping and praising the Lord, I remember some fun times, but I remember some prayer meetings with Sutton that probably were a little bit unorthodox to some other folks in my home church. But I remember our youth leader, youth pastor, Brother Sutton, and whatever other title he had, he did so much around that church. But he took time to get young people on Monday night into a place of prayer. And I remember some distinct moments, and I give honor to him today. I owe a debt to your pastor. I owe a debt. Amen. Brother Warren, it's good to see you. Be seen. When I was a young, skinny evangelist, he took me around Birmingham and we played ball and all kinds of stuff and ate tacos together. Amen. Is that your wife sitting beside you? Amen. God bless her. I understand you have two boys. I want to meet them. All right. Amen. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord? Let's go to Luke. Chapter 2, we're getting closer to Christmas, so let's read a Christmas scripture. Amen. I've had Christmas on my brain. It's been so hot in California. I'm ready for Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. How many's going to preach with me today? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Notice verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Go back to verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now go to your Bible to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. First year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. You can learn some stuff by reading. Congratulations to this girl. Congratulations to this young lady that got these awards today. How many know you need to stay in school? Daniel said, I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. When he got that understanding, he did something. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. From these two disconnected passages that maybe I can connect before it's over, I want to borrow my title from the sixth verse of Luke, the second chapter, and entitle this, When the Days Were Accomplished. the days were accomplished. Put your Bible down and let's ask God to speak through me to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would make me a vessel this morning. God, that you could speak through. Lord, let your message be clear. Speak deep into our spirit, God. Change us, encourage us. God, there's somebody in this house that's going through a storm. There's somebody here that's going through a trial. And I pray that your word would bring encouragement to them on this Sunday morning. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands one more time before you're seated? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout with a voice of triumph right now. We bless your name today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little while today on the subject of time. Time is a very important role in God's economy. And way back in the Genesis, the creation was recorded in the sequence of time. Whether or not that was ages or 24-hour periods, I know not. I guess that's one of the discussions we'll have when we get to the other side. But we do know that from God's vantage point, for our benefit, that he described it as 6 days of labor, but on the seventh day, in terms that you and I can understand, on the seventh day, God rested. And as I look throughout the Word of God, I find that this is true, that God works with us in the process of time. Strange but beautiful contrast of an eternal God doing his work through the portal of time. And how unique that the very first thing, you students of Scripture understand, that the first thing that he made holy was time. He sanctified a set time. He said that it was to be sanctified and set apart, and we were to remember to keep that day holy. As one traverses the pages of Holy Writ, you can't help but notice that there are phrases such as in due time or in due season. There are times that are called determined times and set times, appointed times, and even the fullness of time. And then there was the time when the day was fully come. Our text, the days were accomplished. Those days were accomplished for Mary, and what had begun as a supernatural encounter. The Bible said the thing in you is of the Holy Ghost. And what was supernatural, that was outside of time, had to be walked out in time. Something supernatural beyond my description had to, Mary said, be played out in 9 months of living. It had a fulfilled time. The great eternal, shout eternal. The great eternal God limits himself to a box of time. The finitude of our being limits our ability somehow to grasp the awesome power of an eternal God who lives in eternity, who holds time inside of him. But time is how we understand. I can't think in eternal times. I've been through some long classes that felt like an eternity. But I got through them because I knew that at 3 o'clock the bell's going to ring. I've been through some hard times in my life, but I got through them because I knew there's going to be an end to this thing. I'm glad that God didn't work it out in our part for us to have to live with eternal things. But he put time into our life. The words of the poet, he said, when I was a child, I laughed and wept and cried and crept. But when, as a youth, I dreamed and talked, time seemed to walk. When I became a full-grown man, suddenly time ran. Later, as I older grew, somehow time flew. Soon I'll find while traveling on that time will be gone. As bad as I hate it, time's getting faster every day. It seems like just yesterday my children were little and now they're grown. I thought I was cool for 40 years or so. I thought I dressed good. I thought I liked cool music. I thought I had cool hair. And then I got teenagers. And I found out my music was hokey. My clothes were funny. Dad, you need a new hairdo. Then just a little while ago, it hit me. Yesterday, my son turned 17. And I was thinking about turning 17 and then how quickly it went from 17 to 21 and then 23 with kids. And I'm just kind of thinking, you know, it's not going to be long. My children are going to have to reap what they have sown. Anybody understand that time gets faster? Now, you young people that are 14 or 15 wanting your driver's license, you feel like you are in an eternal hole. You wish you could speed life up to get your driver's license. But when that payment of that first car comes, you wish you could slow time down. We wish we could speed up the paycheck and slow down the bills. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But no matter how hard we try, we can't speed it up, we can't slow it down. Time just keeps on ticking. This is how God designed things to happen. God designed our lives to live within this thing called time. God operates in time, and He operates in our life, in His economy, according to time. Paul wrote to Titus, who was a young preacher. This was his first church, who was preaching on the island of Crete, or as they call it today, Crete. He said, I left you there for you to set some things in order. He said, you're to go there and ordain some elders. I've got a work that God has called us to do. And so Titus, you're going to be the one to get it done. But there's some people that you're going to have to work on. He said, now this is the description of your church. Your first church, Titus. They're liars. They're beast, they're slow bellies. What a great first church. Paul began his writing to this man Titus. He said, God gave some promises before the world began, but hath in due time, shout due time, in due times manifested his word through preaching. In other words, Titus, before you and I ever got here, there was a work that God had planned for that island. And before you and I ever encountered the liar, the beast, the slow belly people that are causing so many problems, he said, before we ever got here and before you ever got on location, God had some due time set for a work that he was going to do. That caught my attention. I wanted to know what was due time. He's talking about eternal before the times begin. And now there's due time. And I found out that that word due time means a specific or a set limited time. In other words, Titus, you're going to be there to fulfill God's purpose for a specific set time. Now let's go a little further. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible said, for there is one God, how many believe that? And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we love to preach about that. Am I in a one God church this morning that believes there's still one God? Hey, I want to tell you, we're living in a day where not everybody that claims to be apostolic still believes that. But I still believe there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice in our subject today what the next part of that verse says. Who gave himself a ransom for all. To be testified in due time. In other words, everything that we're celebrating today came according to a particular, specific, set time. He provided the evidence for our freedom. He paid the price for our ransom. Is anybody glad about that? He took the witness stand and testified. He got up on the witness stand himself as the mediator between God and man. And he said, I know judgment, that the wages of sin is death, but I want to testify, I already paid the price. They don't know anything. Death has already been paid. And so they can be free this morning. He provided the evidence for our freedom, but he did it in due time. Look to your neighbor, say, in due time. That passage, due time, indicates something a little bit more specific. It actually means his private time. His private, personal, alone time are time set apart. It was a process of time. I'm not sure why God waited 4,000 years before he did that. But evidently God's got his own PDA. God's got his own calendar that he looks at from eternity to work in our calendar of time. And it was his private time. It was his set time. It was a time according to his own personal schedule. Well, let's go a little deeper. I know it feels like Bible study, but we'll get back to the flow in a moment. All right? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. We're talking about set time, we're talking about due time, and now we have a time appointed. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness, say fullness, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman and made under the law. In other words, God's doing this thing according to his time schedule. He's working it all out. Now, hopefully by now we're in sync. You understand what I'm alluding to today, that God works in our life according to set times, appointed times. He does things at appointed times that only he seems to know the dates. And it's almost as if there are some things that he waits in there until it's completely full. And then he steps in and does his thing. And so that's all cool. You're talking about big, big grand things. But here's the truth. Preaching is not preaching if all you do is tell stuff out of a book. At some point, preaching's got to come down and touch our hearts and lives. This isn't just some history book. This is a book. This is a roadmap for life. The things you say, well, what you need to be is relevant. Well, let me tell you, this book's always been relevant. When you preach this book and make application to your life, that is relevant. So, now let's bring it to where we live. We live in time. I struggle with eternity, but I understand time. By now we're together. If you're with me, shout amen. Amen. Now, we've looked at the importance of time just briefly, and we could go through a whole litany of chapters and verses that bring about the same truth. Appointed time, fullness of time, the importance of time, until time, appointed times. The writer, the preacher, whoever it was, we don't know his name. Some think Paul. I personally think it was Barnabas. Others think it was all kinds of people. But that's not the issue. The book of Hebrews was actually a sermon that was written to be read to the people of God. And in that powerful message, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, say now, once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by sacrifice himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. So in the subject of time, there's even indication from Scripture that every one of us have an appointment with death. I don't understand that, but it looks like on God's calendar, he's got a date for Miles Young. I'm checking out. You're checking out. I don't understand that. And I've got questions, and I would like to get that calendar, and I'd like to get a bigger racer and erase that date. But it's going to happen to every one of us. But my point tonight is not to get you sad and gloomy and depressed and worried about when they're going to roll you down that middle aisle. The point is everything God does with humanity, He does it according to set time. Ephesians chapter 1, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, He didn't share it with nobody. He didn't ask somebody if this date would be good. He didn't work out some calendar event with a committee and say, well, I'd like to work this out and maybe if I can make this happen on such and such a day. He just did it according to His own good pleasure within Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather in one all things in Christ. So I hope you see it by now. God's got an appointment book. I've taken all those scriptures to show you. God's got an appointment book. He's keeping calendar dates. He's keeping appointed times. He's working on fullness of time. God works. Get this. God works. Get ready. I'm through Bible teaching. We're fixing to get to the dynamic. Because I'm starting to feel that loosey-goosey feeling on me right now. God works, Brother Warren, with set appointments. Now, it don't feel that way sometimes. But God works in set times. Somebody needs to hear this and understand this today. God does not work in your life with random fragments. God doesn't work in your life with, oh, well, I think I'll just kind of mess with Bob today. Oh, I'm kind of feeling good today. I think I'll bless Susie. That's not the way God works. God is a God of order. And God does His purpose. He works in your life, in my life, according to set times and fullness of times and appointed times. What that needs to do is build faith in your spirit, because nothing just happens in your life. You see, when you're a child of God, you even know that even the bad things, all things work together for the good of them. What I'm trying to tell you is if you've got God in your life, you're not following some random idea of God. You're following a God that's got a plan for your future, that's got a plan for your life. He works everything out according to His will. It was even that way with the birth of Jesus. Was that way at the fullness of time, at the appointed time, when the days were accomplished. There was a particular time that was set for the birth, the life, the death of Jesus. There was an order, there was a purpose to the spread of the gospel. Why did He come? Why did He call it the fullness of times? Jesus did not come. Get this before we start preaching. He did not come randomly with an early morning thought, I think I'll go do such and such. But it was all according to His set plan and His set purpose. He came at the height of Rome's power. He came at the height after Rome had conquered Greece, and Greece had given the world for the first time since Babylon. There was a common language of Greek that was spoken and respected around the globe. And He came at a time when everybody could hear the gospel. He came at a time when Rome had built her roads and walls and transition was taking place. He came at that time. You see, God was working everything out according to His pleasure. He's got them building roads. He planted a mine in their mind. Learned to build road. He planted in the mind. Everybody, let's get united around this particular language. Why? Because I'm coming at a particular time according to my pleasure. Why? Because I'm going to spread the world, to spread the word of God to the world. The remains of that day are still there. Go to London, England. You'll see the power of Rome's quest. The Tower of London, step outside to the right and you will find the corner of Hadrian's Wall that is still there outside of that castle. There's a statue to Hadrian, that emperor, and all of that, those things they built. That was all part of God coming at the fullness of time. Getting everything right in place. I was in Israel last year, Pastor Sutton, and there coming off of Mount Carmel, those Roman builders had built going all the way down to Caesarea by the sea, 14 miles. They didn't have computers, they didn't have laser beams, but they built an aqueduct that brought water from Mount Carmel. It dropped 1 inch per mile. bringing that water down so that it came perfectly, still standing. That engineering, he waited till all that was in place. And on that morning, when the days were accomplished. What I'm trying to show you in the beginning of this morning is to show you that God works according to his plan. It all comes together according to his purpose. See, this is what Paul was trying to get across to Timothy. You're going to do a work on that island, and I know you're going to encounter strange things. But understand, Titus, you are there in divine appointment. You are there according to divine purpose, and you are showing up at the right time. I wish somebody believed that with me this morning. You're in Birmingham. You're in this magnificent city at this particular time for a particular purpose. You're not just some little random group of people. You're not just some little grand random group of people that are following some mystical God. You are a set people with a set purpose, accomplishing the set will of God. I'm preaching to a revival church today. I want to tell you, you may not know it, but everybody's learning who this church is. Your fame's beginning to spread. I want to tell you, people everywhere are wondering about Pastor Sutton and that group of people. I hear it everywhere I preach. My God, you're all over GodTube or whatever that is, Apostolic Live. I see you all the time. We got Bonnie up there doing the Holy Ghost Watusi or whatever that is. Hey, I want to tell you, you're a set people. I've come to encourage this church today. I've come to give you strength today. You're not just here just randomly living life out. If you're in this church, you're part of what God is doing at this set time, at this set place, for his set and appointed purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel got to praying. He got to reading, got to studying. The Old Testament records that in the first year of Darius, he began to read and study the book of Jeremiah. He began to study that there were some set times of captivity. This is where it's going. This is where the juice is going to start flowing. Put your neighbor, say, wake up. Now get the picture. They're in captivity. Everything's depressing. They're living like slaves. There's no joy. There's no happiness except what little bit they can eke out within their four walls of their home. And he gets to reading. And he looks and sees that there is a set time of captivity. He said, 70 years. 70 years. Now that don't do a lot for you if you're 17. 70 seems like a long time. But when you're in bondage and you just got a revelation of 70 years, you know what that means? That means there's an end to this. Now that right there ought to be enough to just get up and go crazy over. What he got excited about was, wait a minute. We ain't always going to be right here. We ain't always going to be in this mess. I got to reading that 70 years, we're getting out of here. He said, I set my face to the wall and begin to pray. And while he, get this, boy, this blows my mind. I'd like to have a prayer meeting like this. He got to praying and Gabriel showed up. Gabriel comes into the room and says, hey, I'm here to give you skill and understanding. I mean, when you're talking about Gabriel, you're talking about, I mean, this is the grand poobah of the angels up there, okay? We're not talking about an angel named Buck. We're talking about Gabriel shows up and says, I'm going to give you skill and I'm going to give you understanding what you've been reading. And while he's reading and praying, Gabriel starts teaching. Can you imagine a Bible study that Gabriel taught? And all of a sudden he said, there are going to be 70 weeks determined. And here's what's going to happen. To finish the transgression. To end the sin. To make reconciliation. To bring righteousness. To seal up the vision. And anoint the most holy place. He said, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. 72 weeks the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Y'all didn't get it. When you start thinking about everything Gabriel just explained, here's what it means to you and I in Birmingham today. Or Irondale or Ruffner Road or wherever we are in the state of Alabama. What that means is he said, you can be there 70 years. But when that's done, there's going to be some stuff ended. That'll hit you in just a moment. I'm preaching about set times. I'm preaching to people that are under the bondage of economic crisis. I'm preaching to people that are under the bondage of things in your life that you don't understand. But I've come to give you courage and remind you, God works according to set times and appointed times and fullness of times. What I'm telling you is set times are set times, but set times have endings. What that means is if you're going through something, it's a set time. You don't serve a random God. You're not a random child of God. You live according to His purpose. And that tells me if I'm in a storm, if I keep sailing, I'll come out of it because it's a set time. Brother Young, I don't understand why I'm going through it. I don't either. But I know when I come through this thing, I'm going to come forth like pure gold. I'm going to be stronger. Devil, if you think I was bad before, wait until you see me when this is over. I'm coming out like pure gold. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm coming out of this thing. All right, we're moving to application. The scripture showed us again and again and again and again God's proposed calendar. Due time. Say due time. Say fullness of time. Say due seasons. Say dispensation. Say weeks. Say years. Say days. Say hours. Say particular services. I come to remind somebody today, God's still in charge. I know there's economic crisis in America and the world, but economics are not in charge. God's in charge. Hey, I read in the Old Testament about a guy who sowed seed in the midst of a famine and he reaped 100-fold. I want to tell you, some of you can get a raise in famine. Some of you can get a job in famine. I'm talking about a God who works according to set time. Hallelujah! Here's the point. According to God's economy, there is an end time to everything. Even the mess you're going through right now. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Whatever you're going through today, God brought me from California. I didn't even know I was going to be here. I got an invitation on Friday night. I'm just dropping in. This ain't what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching sermon number 1A. I came to preach a dedication night in Coleman. But for some reason, I just felt to put these notes in here. What I'm telling you, Brother Warren, is there's an end to every trial you go through. There's an end to everything you'll ever go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What that tells me, I may be going through the biggest valley and the most horrible thing I've ever been through, but I'm going to get through it because the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to go through this thing. I'm not giving up. I'm not backsliding. I'm not quitting. I'm just going to keep walking. I may have to drag myself. I may have to pull myself. But I'm going through it. And when I get out the other side, devil, you're going to have a bad day. Now, this ain't real deep, okay? But here's a little revelation that I got for myself. Let me see if you know about living in valleys. Has anybody ever been through a valley? Hey, read my lips. Here's the truth about a valley.
All right.
You know what it takes to make a valley?
Two hills.
That means when you're in the lowest point of the valley, you need to go, cha-ching, I'm coming out. I'm headed back up. I know I went through a dark night. I know weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. If I just keep on, Sister Bonnie, if I just keep on singing when I don't feel like it, if I keep on praying when I don't feel like it, if I keep on walking, I'll come out of this valley. Because there are set times to struggle. There are set times of valleys. I'm going through a training. I'm going through a buffeting. But I'm coming out of this thing. Hallelujah. Shout set times. There's going to be a completion to this thing. No matter what season you're in. I don't understand it. Maybe Brother Marks, Brother Wilson's been by here and preached about it. We had two men in the church. They weren't preachers. One of them's a redneck from Leesville, Louisiana. Wound up in California. And another one named John Allen. He's a big Hispanic guy. He's about twice as big as me. If there's a fight, get him on your side. If not, change sides and get on his. They were fishing outside the Sacramento area. There's what they call the Delta. It goes all the way to the Bay Area. It's some of the greatest fishing in our part of the country. And they're big fishermen. They got out one night after work and they hit the Delta, Sacramento River, moved all back up in there. They toiled all night long, didn't catch anything. They turned the boat around, had about a 30-minute drive back to the dock. They're coming down the river, noticed something floating in the water, and thought it was a log, dodged it and moved on. Got up to the dock, and an elderly man come running up. He said, "I can't find my wife. I can't find my wife." They got to looking around, and they said, "Well, where was she?" Said, "She was sleeping on the houseboat on a hammock out on the porch on the edge of the water." And they got to looking at one another, and they said, "You don't think that could have been..." They said, "Let's get in the boat." They jumped back in the boat, headed back down about 10 minutes down. Got at the spotlight, and sure enough, they found that floating, and it was her, face down. It's now been close to 20 minutes, face down. John reached in and pulled her frail body that was now turned and put her into the boat. They drove back 10 minutes back to the dock. They got there. Somebody called 911, and Danny Walker got out the boat and trying to, or John got out of the boat and Danny's holding the body and they're going to try and console the elderly man, and your wife's drowned, and people's gathered around coming up from all the little houseboats that were at the dock, the marina, and they're all gathered around, and 911 is trying to figure out where in the world they are, and so John's on the phone with 911, and so he's trying to give them directions, and it keeps cutting in and out the phone, and it's kind of like being in Coleman, and so... And so, John didn't know what to do. Except, you know, this isn't a very good situation to be in. And he just kind of praying for himself. He said, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus." And he's kind of a loud guy. And he's giving directions, going, "Oh, Jesus, 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 oh, God." And Danny's in there going, "Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. And oh, God, yeah, turn left there, yeah, come on down, hallelujah." And all of a sudden, Danny said, "John!" He said, "What?" He said, "Keep praying. I think something's happening." He said, "Jesus!" And Danny goes, "Jesus! Jesus!" And all of a sudden that dead body went. And John said, "Hold on. In Jesus' name, I command you in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden that dead body went. And she started breathing again. She was raised from the dead. Before it was over, the TV cameras were out. The newspaper was there taking pictures. The ambulance showed up. They said, do CPR. He said, we don't need to. She's breathing. Say, what's that got to do with set times? I didn't understand it. But the man, Brother Sutton, that was holding the dead woman praying had cancer in his body. And I told his wife, I said, God used your husband to raise that dead lady. God's going to heal your husband. Right. And he died. But I looked out at the funeral. I said, guess what? He's healed. I don't understand God's economy, but I know he's got a calendar. And that's why the man said in the Word of God, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't understand a God that can use a guy dying of cancer to raise a dead woman. But I know one thing, the moment he stepped into the other side, there wasn't no more cancer. Because God has said, hey, Danny, I'll use you to raise the dead, but I got something I need you to do up here. So I'm going to close that day off, and you're going to be again eternity with me. What I'm preaching to you is whether you die in this struggle or whether you come out of it, there is an answer that God has got for you that he has set according to his purpose. So you don't have to be afraid. You just keep walking. No matter what I face, no matter what I'm involved in, no matter what's coming against me, I know God loves me. And I know God's working it out for my good. And everything's going to be all right. He works it out according to his good pleasure. So, Daniel, just wanted you to know, son, that the street and the wall are going to be built again. I know it looks like y'all never getting out of here. I know it looks like there's nothing that can be done, but just want you to realize when that 70 years is complete, I know it. You're looking around saying, well, there's no way we get that wall built. And there's no way we could get that city replaced. He said, even, somebody needs to hear this, even in troubles and times.
Yeah. All right now.
Does anybody know what troubles and times are?
Yeah. All right.
I heard this brother, there he is. 7 months without a job. You say, well, Brother Young, you don't even know our situation. I don't have to know your situation. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm in California, man. California's hurting right now. I got people all over my church losing their houses. I got people losing their businesses. I mean, everywhere you turn, stuff's going wrong. But I'm just telling them, just keep the faith. Keep the faith. I like what Brother Sutton said. Maybe we're learning not to get so tied to this world. We told him the other night, I was preaching, I just got, you know, when you get anointed, you say stuff you don't even believe. You know what I mean? I said, okay, we all lose our house. We'll just move into the church. I don't even want to think about that. God help us, man. I said, we'll string up clotheslines. We'll hang our dirty underwear out in front of the church or something. I don't know. Hey, we ain't got to go under. I mean, we ain't here because of our house anyway. We ain't here because of our cool car anyway. Hey, we may not have these suits anymore. We may just have to drag ourselves. But bless God, we're going on through because we know God's on our side and nothing's going to defeat us. Our life's not built upon what we have anyway. It's upon who has us. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm not dismayed. I'm not forsaken. Punch your neighbor and say, I'm coming out. ZZ Top, get over there. You ready? Woo! Here's what I'm telling you. God's got some seasons set. Now, we spend all the time talking about the bad seasons. Because God works on us. He works on us. And sometimes it's hard to get through our hard heads by blessing. So sometimes he's got to buffet us a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, the Jewish rabbis taught that one of the words for pain is the same connection to window pane. And they said, through your pain and suffering, you can see further. So sometimes I see more through what I have to go through. But he didn't just promise me doom and gloom. I mean, you're just going to live a little while and you're going to experience enough hell in your life. You know, I heard somebody, they were talking about, we got a young preacher in our church that some folks think is a little cocky and arrogant. Anyway, I like him though. And I told him, I said, just chill. He's going to go through enough hell in his life if he's a real preacher. All that'll get knocked out of him. You fight enough devils. But he didn't just promise devil season. I'm just glad that every day ain't Halloween. Not every day's Halloween. There's some harvest party somewhere. Genesis chapter 1 and 14, he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens for day and night. And let them be for signs and seasons for days and years. That word in the Hebrew is moed, which means 23 times it is translated. Everybody say 23 times. 23 times in the Old Testament, that word is translated feast. In other words, way back in the Genesis, he said, I'm going to set some things in the heavens. I'm going to set some stars up there. And when that summer and winter solstice and all that, they didn't go by a calendar. They had their Jewish calendar. It all revolved around the sun and the moon and the stars. Not a horoscope. That's not what we're talking about. Thought I have to clarify that. I'm from California. Nuts and flakes and everything else. I'll have some nut go home and say, oh, bless God. I'm going to read the horoscope and find out what the sun says for me to do. But God said, I'm going to put some signs in the heavens for some feast days. In other words, you're going to be through enough hard work and labor that when that certain morning arrives, when that first sunrise hits on that particular day, I want you to stop everything and it's time to party. Because I work according to set time. I don't just work according to down times and sad time. But he said, I also work according to party time. I work according to feast time. It's time for a celebration. Come to tell somebody here today, your season's about to change. You've been dragging through and working through and sweating through and toiling through. The business of your faith is hard work sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Woo! How many of you old drunks remember getting the Friday afternoon paycheck? Work all week for that boss you couldn't stand, but you did it just to get a check because you was going to the feel-good spot. Is there any honest folks know what I'm talking about? The rest of us sanctified folks, we couldn't wait for vacation. I've been dieting, but Thanksgiving's on the way. Anybody ever dieted and you get that one free day, you know? You can't wait. You go to bed early on Friday because, you know, Saturday you don't start. When that sun comes up, it's not eating. It's officially grazing. Don't leave the table Thanksgiving morning all the way to the evening. Just keep. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you look down at your nose at those drunks. You did it with food. But But God said, I'm going to set some feast times and party time. Because my people's going to have to wade through enough stuff. But when that summer day, when that solstice arises, those Jews would walk out and say, the feast begins right now. Daniel got to reading and that angel started teaching. And the word of God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to bless you and to give you a future. It don't matter what you're facing this morning. I feel the breaking of day. I feel the sun going up. I feel the stars arising. Somebody needs to head to the table of feasting. Somebody needs to head to the table of blessing. It's party time. So, this morning, driving over here, I was thinking about this message. And I was just thinking, somebody at this church has been going through something. Let me see your hand, you've been going through something. Well, I must have been the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, this morning is sunrise time. If anybody know how to do that, this church, I wish I could just take y'all and drop y'all in for about 3 weeks to train some of my folks. I got some formed folks. I got a few formed folks that need a little dynamite. That's what I need. But if anybody ought to know how to do what we fix to do, it ought to be y'all. It ought to be devil breaking, devil head breaking time. Brother Jeremy Wilbanks lived in Sacramento for a little while, Brother Sutton, and he invented a particular kind of praise. Well, at least he named it. When he'd get real excited, he'd go, whoa! I said, he just did it again and again and again. I said, what is that? He said, that's my one-legged gut scream. Whoa! Bonnie, when it gets a little tight, I look at all the young men. I say, I need some young men that know how to do the one-legged gut scream. And all the dignified folks are going. Every once in a while, you just got to go nuts. You just got to push the devil back because he's been pushing you around. What I've come to tell you is it's party time. It's shouting time. It's dancing time. It's miracle time. It's victory time. I want somebody that the devil's been pushing you around, start pushing back right now. Start pushing back right now. Get out of that aisle and start dancing. The sun just rose. It's Sunday morning. Seem like Friday night, but Sunday's here. Sunday's here.
For me, when I think about Jesus, how he's
while you're praising sound, damn!
Find yourself a partner. Take somebody by the arm and say, come on. Walk with me. Dance with me. Shout with me. Come on.
All night.
Find yourself somebody.
All night.